Thank you very much for tuning in to Jimmy's Three Things. My name is Jimmy, and I've got three things I want to talk about in the world of baseball. I actually have one huge like thing that I've been in a spider web. I've been deep. I just keep going further and further. I don't know if I've reached a conclusion yet. It's about catching and stolen bases and the way we track it and who's good and who's bad. And then we have some other topics that I will get to if the big one doesn't spiral into three topics all on its own. Jimmy's Three Things is a production of Dan Patrick Productions, John Boy Media, and Workhouse Media. I'm going to take a sip of my coffee, and then we're going to get right into this. Okay, thank you very much for tuning in. If you have the audio-only podcast on, thank you very much. Please subscribe. If you're watching on YouTube, thank you very much. Please subscribe. That helps a whole bunch if you enjoy it. So I have been recently fascinated with the way we track stolen bases and caught stealings from the catcher's perspective. If you've listened to Talking Yanks, I noticed this earlier in the season, and then I really deep dove into it like two episodes ago, and I read a stat about the San Francisco Giants recently, that the San Francisco Giants are very bad at preventing stolen bases. Patrick Bailey is tied for second in the majors with an average pop time of 1.86. That's really good. Pop time, if you have no idea, is the time it takes from the catcher to get the ball out of his glove and release it. So catch, release. 1.86 seconds. Pretty good. Second best in major leagues for Giants catcher Patrick Bailey. But Giants pitchers haven't given him much of a chance to throw out runners this year. And the Giants have surrendered an MLB high 87 steals while swiping only 25 bags on their own, resulting in by far the worst stolen base differential in the league. So they get stolen on. They do not steal themselves. I read that stat. Obviously, a couple Sundays ago, the Red Sox stole all over Jose Trevino for the Yankees. So I wanted to look at some of these team stats and show you what I'm talking about first, and why I don't trust stolen base stats anymore, and why maybe you shouldn't either moving forward. So let's take a look at an individual player here. I'll do Trevino. I love the dude. It doesn't have a great arm. I'll do Trevino just to let you understand what I'm talking about when I say stolen base stats are kind of doctored. Not doctored, but they just, they're not kept track of correctly. So if I go to Jose Trevino's main page and find his fielding, they're going to tell me that this season he has caught 10 runners stealing and 33 runners have stolen on him. So he's caught 10 and 33. If I go look at the 10 times where there was a caught stealing and Trevino was catching, you can see that plays like this get included in the stat. That's just a pickoff. But he was the catcher of note. We also have this one, which he does signal, throw it to first and help out, but he's not throwing out that runner. That's just the pitcher picking off the runner. This one also counts as a caught stealing, especially if they run forward. Then it definitely counts because the runner was stealing. So now here's one where he did throw the runner out. Now that one was a hit and run on a 3-2 pitch with Justin Turner running, and Turner kind of, he's not the fastest, but Trevi did throw him out. That's his job. You have ones like this. Let me see what this one is. I think this is a legit one where he throws it down to third. No. Overslid the bag. I'd like that categorized. Like the throw didn't beat him. The runner overslid this bag. That'll help people out. What's this one? This one he throws to third. Yeah, so this one's nice. He throws that runner out. That's good stuff. This one. No, this one. pickoff. This one, Stroman picked him off. Okay. So let's see the rest. There's four more because I think the pickoffs actually don't count. But when they steal and the runner picks them off, they count. No, because this just straight up count. That just straight up counts as a caught stealing. So if you're just listening, it's just a pickoff. Now, that's the overslide. Trying to find how many, what I think in my book that I want to know about. That one I want to know about. That was the lead runner stealing and Trevi threw him out. This one, Nestor just turns and picks off the runner going to third. So that I don't care. This one, Clark just turns and picks off the runner that was stealing. Trevi gets credit for all of these. Now, this one is the trail runner. So it's first and second. And instead of getting the runner at third, Trevi knows he's going to surprise him and get the runner going from first to second, the trail runner, who gives himself up to try and induce the runner from third going home. So in my book, that I don't think I would count, but it counts. This is a legit one. This was a first game of the season or second game of the season. Ruled safe. They overturned it. This is the hit and run. So do you get what I'm saying? Now, if you see it, like, majority of these are the pitcher turning. There's only four of the 10 where he threw it and the runner got out. Now, one of those, he overslid the bag. One was a hit and run with Justin Turner, who was like going slow. And the other was a double steal through behind where the runner gave himself up. Those are the four. So Trevi has. So I saw that. And I'm like, well, okay. I think the Red Sox kind of scouted that and other teams haven't just looked at the main numbers because every website that I know that tracks baseball gives the caught stealing when the runner runs and the pitcher just turns and throws him out because it's a caught stealing and that's the catcher of record. It doesn't seem that correct. I deep dove into a lot of stuff here because I wanted to find some truths of the situation. So I don't even know where to start, but let's go back to the Giants. Here's a lot of data I pulled on the Giants. I pulled every stolen base, caught stealing, pickoff, pitcher caught stealing that I could find of the Giants this year, which is there's 70 examples of this happening. And then I made some tables of all this data because I wanted to see who the culprit is. Because if Bailey's got a good arm, then what pitcher is screwing him over? And it's Logan Webb. So Logan Webb has allowed 14 stolen bases this year already. Only two caught stealing, one pickoff. Now, this website labels some stuff as not the catcher's fault, meaning the runner got such a good jump, the catcher had no chance. And Logan Webb, out of 14 of his stolen bases, four they're labeling as not the catcher's fault. They had no chance, but it's kind of more than that. And then you look at Jordan Hicks, eight stolen bases allowed, Doval out of the pen, Keaton Wynn, six. So, but Logan Webb's a lot. That's a lot. And then I went and looked by catcher. And if you look here, Patrick Bailey has 26 stolen bases against. Now these are just the basic numbers. They could not, like, I didn't deep dive into the pitcher, the catcher, pickoff, and seven caught stealings, two pickoffs, good pop time. The rest of all the catchers that have played for the Giants, so I have this not Bailey, have allowed 30 stolen bases and have zero caught stealing. So Patrick Bailey's still getting run on because his pitchers don't help him out. If it's not Patrick Bailey, Tom Murphy, Blake Sabol, Kurt Casale, Jackson Reitz was in there for two stolen bases. The other catchers have allowed 30 stolen bases, zero caught stealing, zero pickoffs, and two pitcher caught stealing. So they stepped off and turned and fired. So that's not good. All right. So then I took that and I wanted to find, okay, so is Logan Webb like terrible at this? Is 14 the most in the league? How does that rank amongst everyone else? So I have that. I got a master list of every stolen base that's happened in Major League Baseball up until through June 23rd, because I did this yesterday. It's 1,500. No, I don't know how many it is. It was, I think it was 1,000. It was 1,050 or something like that. 12,050. It was 350 times five minus a little bit. Math. Because I could only see 350 at a time. And I had to hit next page. And there's five pages. And I download all that data. And then I combined it. So that's the math for you there. And if you look at the top pitchers, Corbin Burnes. 21 stolen bases for Corbin Burnes this year. That's a lot. Logan Webb, 15. So it went up. Maybe did he pitch recently? Because that number's different. I did some of this today and some of it yesterday. But did Webb pitch yesterday? I don't even know. He pitched on June 23rd and allowed four stolen bases. Oh, Webby! Four earned runs. How many of those stolen bases went on to do damage? Now, this is an aside. We are in the game log for his pitch. So, let's see. In the first inning, double, single, then stole second. So, now that run, that single becomes a runner in scoring position. Strikeout, fly ball. So, now he tags up and goes to third. So, the steal definitely helped because you're not going to tag up from first. And then scores on a ground rule double. If he never tagged up on the fly ball, he would have stayed at first. And the ground rule double, he doesn't score on his ground rule double. It goes over the fence. He would have been stuck at third. But then the next batter, it's a single. So would have scored anyway. But also, you get in the groove if you don't have to worry about a runner on second. The next inning, so that's steal. We'll say it helped. Strikeout, single, steal, strikeout, two outs. He stole, so now there's a runner in scoring position. And then a single, and he scores off the single. If he stuck at first, it was a ground ball through the infield. Probably doesn't score there. And then that dude stole, but then struck out. So, yeah, I'm going to say it led to some runs. Did they score in an inning without a steal? They stole in this inning. Gorman stole. Didn't matter. Okay. So, there you go. Logan Webb's not great at it. Neither is Corbin Burnes, 21. I wanted to find a pitcher who's good at this that has a decent amount of innings, and the one I landed on was Michael Lorenzen because I also wanted it to be a righty, not a lefty, because Burnes and Webb are righties, not lefties. So, and I know this to be true, but sometimes you just doubt yourself. Yes, they're both righties. I don't know why I had to go check that. So I got Michael Lorenzen. He has pitched 77 innings, so it's a decent amount of innings. I don't think it's the same as Burnes or Webb at this point. Corbin Burnes. 99 for Burnes and Webb. Let me see. He might be in 100 already. Yeah, he's leading the league in innings. So it's less innings, but still, it was a good player to choose because he has only allowed four stolen bases. You got this one, which I think he gets the strikeout. They throw to second for the last out of the, or for another out, doesn't happen. So that's one stolen base. And that one is caught stealing. And then that's caught stealing. So one for three are teams against Lorenzen and Heim. Safe, two for four. Safe again, that seems like the same exact thing. Might have been the same thing. Or just very similar steals. And out. Okay, so Jonah Heim and Michael Lorenzen as a duo, but we're focusing on the pitcher right now, has allowed three stolen bases and they have thrown out three runners. That's all. That's pretty good, especially when you compare it to Burnes' 21 stolen bases allowed and Webb's 15. I pulled up Webb's data, and I pulled up Lorenzen's data as far as what the pitcher can do to help out, and it was super interesting, and I'm not even being facetious. I found this very, very interesting. I hope you do too. There's a graph, so if you're listening and you want to go look at it, here is a graph charting how many times Webb and Lorenzen throw over to check on the runner. Not how many times, at what point in their delivery, you know, like in their hold, do they throw over? So they come set, right? And then it's like a beat, 1 second. And then you don't want to be the same every time. You don't want to come set and then you're going to throw the ball to first, same time. Basically, it would be like blitzing, you know, in pickup football. Or the first base coach, they have their own reads. Like he's 1.3, 1.4. That is like the stopwatch. But if the pitcher comes set and pauses for two breaths and then throws the pitch every single time, you're going to steal on that guy as soon as he starts that second breath because he's probably committed to going home. He's not switching up his looks and his timing and his holds. And if that pitcher throws over to first, every time he throws over to first, it's on the first breath, the first beat, so it's pickoff. Well, as soon as he clears that first breath, you go, you run, because he never throws it after that. So that's a very dumbed down using breath instead of numbers to let you know. And if you look at this chart, you can see there's not that much difference. Like Lorenzen never throws over. He's never throwing over under 1-2. And half the time he's going to throw over right on that 1-2 beat. But if he goes a little later, he can throw over later 20%, 10%, 10%. Where Webb, he's mostly going to throw over 42% of the time at 1.3. And then once he passes 1.5, he's never thrown over. So the runner can know as soon as I get to 1.5, I can run. And same with 1.6 for Lorenzen. That one's all right. It's not that interesting. The next slide is the hold time. So now the batter needs to be set at 8 seconds, and all he can do is just stare at the pitcher and wait for that pitcher, and that pitcher can just hold him. He can hold him for 8 seconds long if he wants, just staring, getting that batter uncomfortable, itchy in his skin, feet starting to wiggle, like body starting to shake. He's out of rhythm. The pitcher can just hold him. It's an advantage that they have with the new pitch clock system that the batter has to get set 8 seconds before the pitcher has to throw the ball. Some pitchers will change their hold time drastically so runners can't get comfortable. And others don't at all. And Logan Webb is that other. 73% of the time, Webb is delivering the pitch under 0.8. His average is 0.5, so half a second. So Webb pitches fast. So he's going to come set, and then he's going to pitch. Come set, and then he's going to pitch. And then it's like, the highest is 6% of the time he goes to one full second, but it's not a lot. So basically runners know, hey, if you can get in rhythm in it with Webb because he's doing the same thing all the time. He's just holding it for like one, and then going. I can find some picture videos if you want. Where Lorenzen is super mapped out. You can't get comfy. He'll throw over a lot. His two highest are really early, 23% under 0.8, and really late, over 1.8 seconds. And then he does have a scattering in the middle, so runners can't get a beat on him. They can't time him up. They can't get in rhythm, and that's helping him out, and this is hurting Webb. Now, Webb's a really good pitcher with really good numbers, and maybe he just says, I don't care about this. And maybe the Giants say, you don't have to. Don't worry about it. But I did find this interesting that when you look at this, you see how they scout them, how they prepare. So, all right, now we're moving on to the catchers. Something I found. Logan Ohapi has allowed 48 stolen bases, according to this website. I think it's different on this other website. No, it's 50 on this other website. And then 50 and then 48, unless like yesterday there were some stolen bases, which I'll check. Yesterday was the 24th or 23rd. 24th, no stolen base. There was one on the 22nd. No, I don't know why they're off. So they're just counting things differently, which is, again, my whole thing. I'm kind of suspect about how we track stolen bases. It's not what I thought it was. But Logan Webb, per this data, has allowed 48 stolen bases, which is the most. Now, I dug into this a little, and I just this one catcher. I wish I could do this on all the players, but I did it just on Ohapi. I said Webb, both named Logan. I charted all of his. I got all of the times that he actually threw the ball to second or attempted to throw. So if he reared back and it dropped, I charted that. If he, like, you know, pivoted his foot but couldn't get the ball out of his glove, I charted that as he wanted to. So the times when they just totally let the runner go or it was 100% stolen on the pitcher and Ohapi had no chance, I got that and 32 stolen bases in this situation when he threw down. Compared to the 48 they have. So 32, he wanted to throw the runner out and eight of them he did throw out. So that's 25% clip, which isn't that bad. But yeah, there's a lot of times where he's just eating it or not throwing it because they're stealing on the pitcher. It's not his fault. I don't know how we get this more precise. Those are like different numbers, you know? Because they have that he's thrown out 16 of 50. But when I went and watched every single video, he had thrown out 8 of 32. The good news is that lands at the same percentage, basically. The bad news is that probably doesn't happen for all the other ones. Okay, what else did I look at in here? So we'll call that the first thing. I'll take another sip of my coffee and take a breath. Second topic, we're staying with catchers because I could go on this deep dive forever and find things that I find interesting. I hope you find them interesting. We'll see. This is the caught stealing percentage. Now, again, I don't trust these numbers, but they're enough to start with and then dig deeper. Caught stealing percentage and their team catchers. So the Kansas City Royals are the best. They have caught 13 guys and they've only allowed 40 stolen bases. 32.5% of runners have been caught by the catcher or the pitcher, whatever. Go down to the bottom and the Cubs aren't looking good at all. Three caught stealings, 73, 4.1%, not good at all. So I dug pretty deep into Miguel Amaya on the Cubs, and I needed to see what he was all about. Where did I write my notes on him? Okay, so as far as raw data goes, Amaya is 67th. Of all MLB catchers when it comes to average pop time to second base, 2.03 seconds. There's 30 teams. Each team has two catchers. That's 60. He's worse than that. He's 67th. Of all people that have qualified to be in this stat, they've thrown enough times. When it comes to arm strength, meaning the average miles per hour his throw to second is, he's 51st in arm strength with an average of 77.4 miles per hour. I poured through the data and I watched all the videos and teams are starting to realize to run on him. So last year, his first year in May, there was only one stolen base attempt. In June, there was six. In July, there were six. Then in August, there was 11. Then in September, drop down. This year, so far, 10, I don't know if I did attempt or stolen base. April of this year, 10 stolen bases. May, 22. June, 12. 22 in May is not good. And the most jarring number I found is that, and I have the videos of them, is that when he throws down to second. So Amaya on the Cubs has thrown down to second 26 times this season. And he has thrown out one runner, Cronenworth, right here. Throws up the line, tags on the back, he's out. 26 times he's thrown to second base or third base to try to get the runner out, and he's only gotten the runner out once. That is insane, right? I mean, is this the loud issue in Cubs land? It's got to be. Sorry, I'm not as tuned in as people that live in Cubs land. I probably don't call it Cubs land. The throws aren't just a slow pop time and a slow miles per hour. They're also just not accurate. And you could see the pop time is slow because he like kind of rears back. And then it looks like he's getting it out fast, but the miles per hour is slow. Accurate on a couple last ones, but sometimes they just bounce or they sail. And how bad does this get? How bad does it get? A lot of MLB teams traded framing and blocking for offense, and then they traded framing and blocking for throwing out runners as well, saying the pitchers will do it. Sometimes pitchers won't do it. And now with the new rules and the game getting athletic and all these minor leaguers coming up that know how to steal with the pitch clock and how it operates, how bad does this get before it's a problem? I guess the Cubs will let us know. Their backups aren't any better. I thought that was crazy. Last year, he threw down 15 times and threw out three runners. One of them was an overslide. So two, he got the ball there before the runner got there. How nuts is that? And again, if you're wondering, hey, doesn't it say that he had three caught stealings and I'm saying he only had one? Well, I can show you where the discrepancy is in a second. The stats say that he's thrown out three guys, but I am saying he's only thrown out one because they're counting this where Shota steps off and picks the guy off. That's count as a pitcher caught stealing. And he's counting this, probably this one more because the runner was running the second, picks off and gets into a pickle. Let's see this one they're counting, which is pitcher caught stealing error. Well, he didn't catch him. So they're counting two of those. I'm guessing that one because they got him out and the other one. So this is the only Cronenworth one is the only legitimate caught stealing the Cubs have this year where the catcher threw the runner out. One. That's crazy. All right. I can dig more into that later if I want, because I think that web's going to go for longer and longer until I really untangle it. I'll move on. The third thing, I just got some fun facts that Dalton helped me prep, which I think are pretty fun. Here's a very unfun fact. There are currently 76 pitchers across 28 teams on Major League injured list with elbow injuries alone. We can put these links in the description on YouTube too, because this is like a Reddit post that someone shared. So I want to make sure they get credit always. That's from Kerbabel. 76 pitchers across 28 teams. So two teams don't have a pitcher on the injured list with elbow injuries. That's awesome. No team has more elbow injuries than the Astros with six. The Braves and Orioles have five. The Dodgers have three elbow injuries, including Ohtani, but have nearly an entire pitching staff on the IL with various other injuries. That was a good post by Kerbabel on Reddit. The Phillies and the Cubs are the only teams that do not have any pitchers with elbow injuries. Way to go! That being said, the Cubs do have two guys listed with strained forearms, which is often a precursor to TJ Kerbabel. Come on. There are currently four Cy Young winners out of action with Tommy John surgery. Bieber, DeGrom, Alcantara, Ray Alcantara, along with many other accomplished pitchers, Bradish, Javier, McClanahan, Strider. Yeah. Ooh, Nick Robertson, Cardinals, just activated, so that makes St. Louis the third team with no pitchers. And Ray Curve, the Braves, will have Tommy John surgery, so the Braves are now level with the Astros with six. Damn. That stinks. Okay, that was an unfun fact. Let's do a fun fact. The Phillies turned the first 1-3-5 triple play since 1929. 1-5 means it was a It was lazy line drive back to the pitcher, caught and bowled. Now, both runners were advancing. It was first and third, and they both, were they running on contact? Because, runner on third, everyone does the contact play now, so he's skedaddling. Runner on first is just bad base running. He gets doubled up. And then the runner on third doesn't go back? What are we doing, runner on third? Who was that? Mac Veerling's weak liner to the mound. Corners first. Carson Kelly midway between first and second. Allowed Nola easy fire the ball to pick him off. Then the curious part, Zach McKinstry, who singled to open the inning, appeared to not see Nola catch Veerling's hit in the air. Come on, McKinstry. Got to be better than that. Expect that from the White Sox, not the Tigers. Just joking, but not joking. White Sox are so bad. The Phillies struck out, next fun fact, the Phillies struck out 17 times tonight. Their third time with at least that many strikeouts in a game. They're 3-0 in these games. And this was posted on Reddit by I'm Gonna Wreck You, VGC. Teams have struck out at least 17 times in a game, 12 times this season, including tonight. The Phillies three times. The A's twice and seven other teams once. The Phillies are 3-0 in these games. The rest, MLB is 2-7. I mean, three true outcome. The Phillies can play that ball. They can play a lot of styles of ball, but if you're striking out, they're probably hitting homers, I guess. I would guess. Guardians have won 50 games within their first 76. Four times prior to doing it this year, they made the World Series in three of the four. Ooh. Okay. The third was fun facts. The first was a deep dive into stolen bases. Now, if you saw the research I was doing and kind of how my brain was working and you want to leave some suggestions in the comments on YouTube, I'll peruse those. If there's anything else I can like dig into, if there's something I'm missing in this web, but I don't even know where to go from here. I just can't trust the numbers anymore when they tell me what the catcher allows and doesn't allow. It's just not real. It's just those are team stats that you're just assigned. You could say that for like the second and shortstop for tagging as well sometimes. Maybe not just like that, but you know. If it's on the pitcher, we need to know. And then we shouldn't count it. If the pitcher turns and fires because the runner took off too early, that catcher shouldn't get credit for a caught stealing. Because in my brain, I'm thinking he gunned him down. And he didn't. Thank you very much for tuning in, Jimmy's Three Things. Appreciate you as always. I'll be back next week. Goodbye.